This is for Wednesday, September 7, 2016. Would you all please, or roll call first, I'm sorry. Roll call.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes, here.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
All right, now please stand with us. Place your hands over your heart and please follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this point, the board is going to review the order of business presented in the agenda by staff to see if we want to make any changes. Do any board members want to make changes to the agenda?
No.
Seeing none to my right. Okay, then we will...
I move that we accept the agenda.
Okay, there's a motion and then...
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We're going to move forward with the agenda as presented by staff. I believe, Gerhard, are there some copies of the agenda on the table?
Yes, I think we brought 10 copies this time, so.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move on to our public comments. This is an opportunity for a member of the community to address the board on any item that is not on the agenda. Please keep your comments to as close to 3 minutes as possible. So I see we have one person coming up, so state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Julie Tacker, and I missed your meeting 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, or three. It's been 3 weeks now because of the long August. But at the previous meeting, Mr. Huebner handed me this orange folder. It was rather dramatic. I don't know if you recall, but he gave me his resume. And as you probably do recall, I asked for the resume as far back as April, and it took from April to August to finally get it. When I got it, I thumbed through it here, but just so you know, it was 2 pages. So I had understood that an attorney from San Francisco had also asked for it, and so I asked for the copy that he got. And his copy is 3 pages. So I don't know why the very same record is different, given differently to one person than another. And my concern, and I've raised this before, because Mr. Huebner resisted giving the resume to me and to others, is do either of these resumes match the resume that you were given in closed session when you did the interviews for his position? I don't know where that resume is. I haven't seen it. I would like you to dig up your copy somewhere. Somebody's got a copy. And compare it to these two and see how they differ. Because in my mind, the California Public Record Act is clear. It is a public record, and everyone is entitled to the public record fairly. So this makes absolutely no sense to me that one is different from the other. And my concern is that your copy is different from both of these, but I don't know how to get that. I don't know how to be guaranteed that I get that. So you have to go back through your files. You as board members, Ms. Lucy doesn't have it. She wasn't there that night. But you have to check for me. Your attorneys have sent me letters telling me I couldn't have it. But now that I have it, there's still a question in my mind whether or not I have the actual document. So I'd like to see you pursue the truth. It's the truth.
Thank you, Julie. Gerhard, do you have?
Sure. It's this simple explanation. There's none of this truth or not truth. The reality is we inadvertently gave, the third page is my references, which are not typically part of the resume. So they were inadvertently given to that California Awareness Council by mistake. What sits in the official copy, the resume, is what Ms. Tacker received. There's nothing more to the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Huebner. Is there anyone else that would like to address the board during public comment? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it, and we're going to move forward. We are going to move to item 5, which is consent. We've got 5 items on consent. There are minutes from the meeting of July 20th, the meeting of August 3rd, the meeting of August 17th. There is approval of warrants and financial review at July 31st, 2016. Do any members of the board want to pull any items from consent? Any questions on consent? Okay. Does anyone from the community want to comment on any item under consent?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have a concern over the charges for Alicia Lara. They are $4,350 total. It seems to me that these charges continue to accrue, and we may be getting somewhere to where perhaps we should have gone out for RFP or RFQ for services. A lot of money has been going to this firm, and it was sole sourced. So I'm interested to know what the totals are, say, for the last year or even just this fiscal year. But when someone is sole sourced or picked, how long do you keep them on before you go out for competition? The other thing that I saw on here was the FFR bypass project. There's a couple of notations in the subject lines, and I'd like to know more about the FFR bypass project.
Okay, is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward. I don't know Garrett, any or legal counsel, any comments on the comment regarding Ms. Lara?
The charges are appropriate. She's working on priority actions for district staff.
Okay, very good. Do any board members have any comments, questions, or anything? If not, is someone prepared to make a motion on the consent agenda?
I move that we accept the consent agenda as stated.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Mr. Roll Call.
Chairman Scholz?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to item 6A. These are our action items. This is the district's long-range redundancy project. This is a secondary clarifier and aeration tank consideration of resolution number 2016-357. A resolution concurring with that no further environmental review is required for this project. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholz. Directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner for the record. I'll be presenting this item, item number 6A. This is to consider a addendum to a mitigated neck deck for a district's long-range redundancy project, which is secondary clarifier and aeration tanks. And consideration of a resolution to that effect. So I have a fairly lengthy slide presentation. Okay. Feel free to stop me at any time. It does follow the staff report. You'll see with this as well as the other items, we did do a comprehensive review so that this item could be before you today. So let's get started. Background, at least as far back as calendar year 2005, and you can correct me if this went back further, it perhaps does, the district discussed and evaluated a need for a project that would construct and operate additional or redundant secondary treatment process at the district's wastewater treatment plant. So back in 2010, July 7th, at a public hearing, the board adopted resolution 2010-275, adopting the mitigated negative deck and monitoring program for the project. That resolution included several findings. Two that I've listed here, which I thought were important, was that the construction of these secondary clarifier and aeration tanks
at the district's facilities, as conditions would not have a significant impact on the environment, and it would also improve the district's ability to reliably meet discharge standards at all times. So two very important findings that came out of that hearing and that resolution. So as you'll recall, within the past year, the board pursued and approved funding for the first phase of this project, initiating permitting and design. And as you also know, to initiate construction, the district first has to obtain a coastal development permit from the California Coastal Commission. They have a regional jurisdiction at the site. This was different than we originally envisioned back in 2015, before I arrived, that the county had the land use jurisdiction and permitting authority. So we've had to go back to the Coastal Commission, which resulted in a little bit of delay, to say the least. So, again, this is background. On March of this year, the district submitted its coastal development permit application to the Coastal Commission. On April of this year, we received our application reply and incomplete, but they also outlined a number of things, including information, data, types of studies that they would need to move the application along. And thus, in our perspective, allowing it to proceed to the Coastal Commission at a future date for consideration or approval of the CDP. So in general, some of the topics that the Coastal Commission staff requested in their letter was more information analysis regarding climate change and resulting sea level rise, flooding analysis, how frequent over a period of time, in this case 2050 all the way out to 2100, looking at the surrounding biological resources at the site, updated project description and site plan. They also requested the district reaffirm or make a CEQA determination, result of this item you here have before you today. And they also requested the San Luis Obispo County provide a determination on their permitting or any permits that they would require. So, as you also recall, again, this is background, that this would be a significant effort. The board authorized consultant assistance for the district in regards to the project management, design, environmental review, and permitting. So you've assembled over time a number of consultants, including Kennedy Jenks, Mike Nunley and Associates, John Rickenbach Incorporated. We've also retained Kevin Merck to help delineate the waters of the U.S. and the state of California, i.e. our biological resources at the site. Representatives are here in the audience to assist me with any questions you have, if you have at that point in time any of the studies that have been produced. Kennedy Jenks, as you know, is under approved contract for the district. They have a portion for CEQA and permitting to assist us. They obtained the services Environmental Science Associates, or ESA, to undertake and complete the climate change, sea level rise, and flooding analysis. They have a reputation for this type of work and also good working knowledge and relationship with Coastal Commission staff, so that was why it was important that we retain them and get their assistance through this effort. So on August 5th, as I relayed in my district administrator report, we did submit our response to the Coastal Commission. In that, we provided a cover letter and five attachments comprising studies, reports, and the data. So first, I'll mention the waters of the U.S. delineation for the state of California. That was done by Kevin Merck and Associates. We have the sea level rise analysis provided and prepared by ESA. The technical memorandum regarding flood risk strategy provided and prepared by Kennedy Jenks. Kennedy Jenks also updated some site plan, and we also provided some site photos, some visuals, to complete the package. And after that, we were able to, but at our teleconference the same day, we transmitted a signed local agency review form from the County of San Luis Obispo. It was a one-page form. We had a We participated in a conference call with them on August 16th. We went over, the purpose of the conference call was to go over that August 5th transmittal and all the associated studies, reports, as well as the project CEQA status. At that teleconference, Coastal Commission staff relayed to us that they believe the district's approach, through an addendum supported with the August 5th studies and information, was appropriate for their review and their permitting effort. So that led to the preparation of this item, again, that you see forth today. So in your agenda packet, you'll see, it's called a CEQA addendum. It's an addendum to the 2010 mitigated negative DEC, and it was prepared in accordance with provisions of CEQA, or the California Environmental Quality Act. We've on the slide here, you can see the section that's cited in the CEQA guidelines. Why an addendum to a negative declaration or mitigated negative declaration is appropriate. And I've highlighted that in italics. This addendum to the 2015 MND is intended to bring the existing CEQA documentation up to date. The proposed project has not substantially been changed. There is new significant impacts. Thus, the addendum is appropriate. Attachment 1 to your package today contains the original adopted 2010 MND, that resolution, and all the related documents that pertained to that approval. So here's several reasons why an addendum is appropriate. And again, this is documented in the item. The updated project is substantially similar to the one examined in the MND adopted for the project in 2010. However, as the Coastal Commission did in their initial review of our CDP application, they did request some additional information requesting the respective following environmental issues, which I mentioned previously. Those issues address the issues as attachments to the addendum. Attachment C, D, and E. So again, they roughly follow the letter. The letter had attachment 1 through 5. We've now labeled them A, B, C, or accordingly. So the references are the same studies that went with our cover letter. Any required change to the project design are minor in nature. The technical issues, as provided, did shed some light on these issues and provided more detailed analysis, but they did not identify any new significant impacts that would require a substantial redesign of the project or fundamentally revised mitigation measures not already contemplated. So this is important. Did not require substantial redesign of the project. In addition, new information and potential design changes were not substantially increased the magnitude or severity of the impacts that were previously adopted or identified in your 2010 MND. And I just want to point out that the district's cover letter dated August 5th provides an additional summary of the findings, so I didn't want to necessarily look at every page of every bit of the studies and reports. Our cover letter tried to summarize those issues for not only Coastal Commission staff, but for you, the directors, and the public at large. So now I'd like to introduce and talk just a little bit about the resolution we prepared for your consideration today. That's resolution 2016-357. So in order for us to comply with the Coastal Commission staff request regarding the pending CDP application, district staff, in conjunction with district council, drafted the resolution you see before you. It complies with section 15164 of the CEQA guidelines, and that the district is determining this addendum to the adopted mitigating NEC is necessary to document changes or additions that have occurred in the project or its description since the MND was originally adopted in 2010. So if your board today adopts this resolution, you would be making a determination that it's reviewed and considered the information contained in the addendum in its consideration of the adopted MND, and that lastly, or concurrently, we find that the preparation of subsequent CEQA analysis requiring public circulation is not necessary. Furthermore, This resolution confirms that the adoption of the mitigated neg deck and the mitigated monitoring purpose for the project, and again, you concur that this would meet the requirements of CEQA with the addition of the addendum, and no further environmental review under CEQA is necessary or required for the project. A mitigated monitoring program was included in the adopted 2010 CEQA document that carries forth. Those mitigation measures are included to ensure that potential impacts to air quality and cultural resources would be reduced to a less than significant level, and those measures would be included in the project design and ultimately implementation and any permitting of the project. So for all the reasons and rationales I've described above, district staff is recommending the board consider and adopt resolution number 2016-357 for the district's long range secondary treatment process, or also called redundancy project. And we make that recommendation that you consider and adopt resolution 2016-357. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Gerhardt. Let me see if there are any questions. Mayor, you have any questions?
Of course. Okay. But I'd like to hear that.
Okay. Jim, you have questions?
Just a couple. On page one of the staff report, I'm confused. It says, it talks about the Coastal Commission, the County of San Luis Obispo, and the district all in the same paragraph, and then it says, when it opined, and the reference to who opined is not clear to me.
Okay. I would opine or make the opinion that it would have been the district or the district staff in consultation with its consultants. So that was the original thinking, I believe, at that time.
Okay. Next question. Was this item, when it first came before the board in 2010, was there public notice given at the time?
Yes, I believe so. They wouldn't have been able to move forward.
And then looking at the addendum and the addendum requirements, this is addendum to a negative declaration, and that's not what we have here as I understand it, but what we have is a mitigated negative declaration. And so there's a twofold question to that. One is, does this apply to a mitigated negative deck in terms of the addendum being the appropriate document? And if so, or whether or not, should not there be a notice at least of residents in the area that we're proceeding with this?
Well, I guess the first question is, this is a mitigated neg deck. So I think that's what you're asking in terms of what was done then, and we're doing an addendum to a mitigated neg deck. And then my understanding, perhaps...
Yeah, I would say perhaps Mr. Rickenbaum.
Yeah, could answer the second
respond.
In terms of public noticing.
And I would say Mr. Rickenbaum, maybe you can... give people a little CEQA 101, not the long course, but the difference between a neg deck and mitigated neg deck, and then addendum.
Sure. Members of the board, I'm John Rickenbach, JFR Consulting. For all intents and purposes, under CEQA, there really is no difference procedurally or substantively between a negative declaration and a mitigated negative declaration. The difference is that one has mitigation measures included in it, the other does not. But functionally speaking, they're the same kind of document you use to document the potential impacts of a project, and it undergoes required review and notice, 30-day review period, which was done in 2010. So if there's a difference in terminology between mitigated and just plain negative declaration, they're really the same thing, though that can be corrected for the record post adoption here today. Noticing requirements are identical, and there's no difference. It wouldn't change the outcome here for the addendum.
Including the differences of climate change and sea level rise, the flooding analysis, the biological resources impact, those issues would not rise to that level?
Right. And this was something we went over very carefully with the Coastal Commission staff as well. The idea of an addendum is that you have an adopted CEQA document, which you do, from 2010, which describe the impacts of the project, which is substantially the same project as it was then. In going forward with the CEQA documentation for the CDP, the CDP as the permitting agency is the appropriate body to help guide us what the appropriate CEQA document would be. In consultation with them, their belief was, and we concurred, that an addendum would be the appropriate approach for them, provided that we provide documentation on those specific technical issues and that those technical studies showed that while there may be good detailed analysis involved, that it wouldn't involve any new required mitigation measures that would substantially redesign the project in such a way as to change the findings of the original mitigated negative declaration. The result was that was the case. So there's a lot of detailed study about sea level rise and flooding and wetland and biological resources, all of which is very helpful, but all of which is incorporated into the project design in such a way to avoid any potential impacts with respect to those issues. So while Coastal asked for detail on those issues, and we've provided it, the reality is that the project as designed will not create any new impacts with respect to those issues, and that's why an addendum can be prepared.
Okay, thank you for the response. Those are my questions.
Okay. Mary?
You could probably stay up there. So I had to do a
sure.
quick study on this stuff. I had the drafts from before, but I did not get my packet till about yesterday, about 10 o'clock in the morning. So I do have a lot of questions here, and I ripped through it, and because of the size of the document, there might be areas where you covered it, and I just didn't catch it, or because I was doing that bad speed reading. So the document that was adopted in 2010 was adopted in July of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was July 7th of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have significant events in 2010. We had a flood. Did we put that in the report? We had we've had recently wastewater release into the community, and had substantial wastewater release during that flood. We were fined. We agreed to pay the fine, and I just went down a list of things that I thought were relevant changes to the plan that I don't know were included in there or not. So we paid the fine, and then we've been identified as a high flood risk area. And so we're putting a lot of pressure on the county for those levees to hold, right? When those levees aren't even certified. You know, they're not certified levees. And so that's putting more pressure over onto the county. And meanwhile, the feds are kind of backpedaling on the county when it comes to the levee situation. Zone 118 is a clear example of how they're backpedaling. And we're talking about putting a lot of pressure on a levee to protect this plant that isn't even certified. So those are just a couple things that I was thinking maybe you could explain to me. And then also, too, is that were those things included in the plan that was sent to the Coastal Commission?
Let me address that. There's a lot of things in there, but I think the question you're asking is have potential issues related to flooding or any other related type of things been addressed or as they're relevant to the project been addressed in the documentation. First of all, let's be clear. The documentation is intended to address the proposed project, which is the redundancy project. It isn't about a fundamental rebuild or redesign of the plant, but really a project intended to improve safety conditions out there. So that's what the focus of the environmental review is on. Now, the Coastal Commission did ask about flood issues, and we did provide a pretty lengthy flood study, and for specifics in there on that, I would ask Mike Nunley to expand on that.
Which flood study did you use?
There is a new flood study that we've created to address actual flooding conditions.
You created it?
Actually, it was.
I know the counties.
I'll have Mike talk about it. This is a brand new flood study included for this project right here.
Okay, great.
Director Lucy, it was the ESA study that I referenced earlier, but Mike will be able to provide more.
Okay, because I just got out of meetings regarding the flood study for the county.
But it's actual recent information that was prepared this summer to address past and current flooding conditions.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. So just keep going with the other things I asked you, and then you can...
Well, the rest of it is to say, the point of the addendum is to look back at the original mitigated negative declaration, determine whether the project has changed since that time, determine if conditions that are relative to environmental impacts are different relative to doing the project or keeping the project, implementing the project and its effect, the project's effect on the environment. And the issues that when we consulted with coastal staff on, they really focused on the biological issues, the flooding issues, sea level rise issues. So we did address those in some depth, prepared all that, and provided that to Coastal Commission for their review. And their determination at the staff level was this was what they were hoping for. In fact, I think they kind of said the sea level rise study was well beyond what they expected to see, in fact. So from their perspective, they feel that the impacts were addressed and the issues were addressed adequately to bridge the gap, because that was their concern. The mitigated negative declaration was done in 2010. They wanted to make sure that updated information on those issues was brought forward, which we did, and I think they feel satisfied that that was done properly.
So the flood was included in the report?
Yes.
In the report?
Yes.
Because you're saying that you're using the document from July 2010 and the flood didn't happen until December of 2010.
The 2010, let's be clear, the 2010 mitigated negative declaration is the starting point. That's the adopted CEQA document that your board adopted then for the project. The question then became, was that sufficient to provide CEQA documentation for today's project? And the answer was, through all the, as Gerhard pointed out, an addendum to the CEQA document was necessary to, as a mechanism to allow for other information to be brought forward to satisfy the permitting agency, the Coastal Commission, on key environmental issues. So we prepared new studies as a result of the addendum all this year, all this summer, in those key technical issues. So all the technical work that you have attached to that addendum, including the 2010 NEGDEC, mitigated NEGDEC, are these brand new technical studies in these key issues.
Great. And now also, too, is that in Mr. Gerhardt's last point, he pointed out that it would not have, what was your last point on not having a community review or something to that effect, that it would not need a public hearing? Was that what? I'm sorry.
I think I need to talk to this man, not you.
So, everyone, please. Yeah. Please hold the comments down. Board's asking questions. We'll give the public an opportunity to comment.
So your last point was on, is that it would not have to go before...
I think it was the public review or public
comment. Public review, right. Mm-hmm. And so is it possible to do some type of review? Because there is a community in that neighborhood, and I think they have the right to know if the plant is expanding and how they feel about that. And so not that I want to change the format or anything, but I want to see where we can include the community and having some form of input. It was their homes that were flooded.
Yep. A good question. First of all, an addendum by definition under CEQA, under the CEQA guidelines, is not circulated for public review. It is available for public review, but it's not publicly circulated. For example, in the noticing for this meeting and the run-up to this meeting, it's certainly available for review. but it is done that
not
way.
Not really advertised.
But right, and nor does it need to be, because the idea is you've got documentation that doesn't identify new significant impacts or mitigation measures beyond those that were originally described several years ago in the adopted document. Now, all that to say, can you reach out to the community in some fashion? Absolutely. As the project goes forward, it's appropriate to do whatever procedure that the board chooses to do. It's just not a requirement under the California Environmental Quality Act. So that's the short answer. There's no requirement to do it, but you're certainly free to reach out to the community in any way you see fit.
That's my issue right there.
Well, certainly the report is available, and I would also mention that this project will come before your board again when we proceed with design and ultimately, hopefully, construction and award of a contract. So there will be a public process in that as well.
Okay, well, I'd like to see it go just a little bit further, sure, because it was their homes that were flooded out. And I know that nobody in here had been in those homes, but I had. And we're talking about drastic. So if it's at all possible, the neighborhood can be flyered for the next meeting?
Why don't you hold that thought? I have
okay.
questions.
Great.
I think some of them are sort of in that same vein. So
I'll hold it.
Do you have any more?
Nope.
Okay, so
thank
then
you.
Let me just jump on from there. I know, John, you're right. The CEQA does not require that an addendum be put out for a certain period of time for public comment. But certainly we do have the authority to do that should this board choose to take that extra step. So here's a question that I have, and it's probably more you all can decide who wants to answer this is, should the board decide that we want to take this addendum, and I know that there was probably this meeting, a certain number of days, this was obviously noticed and advertised, and folks had access to this, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't close to 30 days. So I'm just trying to get a sense of the timing. What impacts would it have if the board said, let's put this out for public review and comment to the end of this month? How does that affect the schedule with respect to the CDP and Coastal Commission?
Well, I'll let Mr. Huebner answer part of that. But I will say, if you do put it out that way, it in no way it's completely discretionary on your part what to do. It has nothing to do with CEQA per se. If you want to put it out for 15 days or 30 or take comments or respond to them, that's up to you, but none of those are requirements under CEQA.
Yeah.
So when you choose to end that period, then it becomes a question of how Coastal will go from there. The absent that, the concept would be if you were to adopt that resolution, we would go back to the Coastal Commission with that resolution, which is what they've asked for, to say, okay, the board is good with the CEQA work, we're good with it at the staff level. Now we're going to process the CDP and put conditions on it and then bring it back so you can act on that. So until that is resolved and that resolution's adopted, I think Coastal's going to wait for that resolution to come forward to them.
I would agree with that, but as far as timing?
So certainly any time that you put forth, we're ready to put together the last pieces of this to hopefully get a deemed complete application. Which case they then could start drafting conditions and get it on the agenda. But you're already looking at best, maybe November, December at the Coastal Commission. You add 30 days, you're looking on their agenda into 2017. Okay. And I've also heard from folks that they're so backlogged that they, any opportunity to put something out of the queue, so you do have that risk. I know this is a priority project, and you want to move it forth, but we've been trying to bring this along at a reasonable pace to get the information to Coastal staff so that we can get this project at least to the permitting stage.
Okay. Thank you for those responses. So I want to just restate. So basically, you've been working with Coastal staff. They've determined that an addendum is appropriate, correct?
That's correct.
So as part of their review of and action, let's say, future action on a CDP, will they be in a position to reaffirm these documents or to adopt the, because the mitigated neglect and the addendum go together, It's not.
Correct. It's all one CEQA document. Correct. And that's been their indication. Again, we've been working with staff, and they seem pretty comfortable with that approach. Yes, okay. They would be using the same documentation of process, the CDP.
So then for all intent and purpose, this document is available for the public to review for however long it takes to get to Coastal Commission, correct?
That's correct, and through the coastal permitting process. So there's still a little road in front of us that it's all available for review and comment for that matter. And Coastal Commission can take the comments as they see fit.
Okay. Because I think the thing that we want to make sure we don't lose sight of is the purpose of CEQA is to determine if something is a project or not. It is a public disclosure and informational document. So the fact that we have all this information and it is available to the public, we are certainly covering what is required by law. I think for this board, we're going to have to decide, is this a priority project? Do we want to give this community more time to give comments to us, or obviously do we pass those comments on to Coastal Commission? So I think that's a discussion we'll have once we have taken comment from.
That's correct, and I would say, but the clock relative to being able to keep going through Coastal is all dependent on the passage of the resolution before you today.
That is correct. Absolutely. Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. Mike, you have something?
Yes, sir. I'm Mike Nunley with MKN and Associates. I did want to point out a few things about the project that I think are also very important to remember. That the real purpose of this project is to allow you to have redundant processes in the event that you have a failure on your one fixed film reactor and your one secondary clarifier. So as far as risk to the community, to me, strictly from a technical perspective, you are adding redundancy to processes that could possibly fail. And that, to me, would be a great risk to the community and to your neighbors and your customers. Second is, part of the project includes some relatively inexpensive flood proofing of some of the existing facilities, so raising a couple of flood barriers 2 feet or a couple feet, improving your flood proofing on some of the existing facility as well. So the benefits of this project, you know, could be viewed as, I'm a civil engineer, I'm not a CEQA expert, but I would say a net positive environmentally and to the community. So I just want to point that out, that really the purpose of the project is to improve flood resiliency, improve your ability to function in the events you have major equipment failures, and to remedy some conditions that regional board has requested for over a decade.
So are you saying that the no project alternative potentially has greater environmental impacts?
I wouldn't be the one to render that opinion. But,
I know, so I'm sure.
I would say it does.
Oh, you just said you weren't, but
I will render that opinion. And let me just add, in our discussions with Coastal staff, one of the reasons they felt the addendum was appropriate because they recognized the timing, the importance of getting things moving quickly. And I think in working with the county staff, you know, we did get concurrence that no other land use permitting would be needed. So there was some coordination there, all with the basic recognition that if you don't do something, it's actually potentially more harmful from a flooding and other risk perspectives as well.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And were there any other questions? If not, I'm going to open this up to the public. Please come forward, state your name for the record.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I think you shot your clock in the foot a few months ago when you submitted an incomplete permit application. So you're off on the wrong foot already, is my point. Mr. Rickenbach went under contract in January, and he gave you a timeline that you would be before the Coastal Commission, including him doing the CEQA, not dusting off the old CEQA. This was him doing the CEQA, that you'd be before the Coastal Commission on a consent calendar in June, 3 months ago. So I don't think racing against a clock is making good decisions wisely at all.
So you need to do what's best for the district and your community. The fact that your consultants and your administrator are telling you that public circulation isn't necessary is a huge red flag to me. While it may be legally not necessary because you are dusting off an old project, the people have changed. 6 years ago, this mitigative negative declaration was certified. 6 years ago, those that are still there were there during the flood. The flood that did flood their homes with sewage. People got sick. People lost their property, had property damage. They have the right to read this project again, or maybe for the first time, because you are flood-proofing your facilities, which may trigger flooding of theirs. They have the right to know what your mitigation is and how it affects them. So you do have the discretion, and I suggest you use it. You notice. Now, I don't see it in this copy of the mitigated negative declaration, but I've seen it in the past, and to my recollection, the noticing for that project only went 100 feet. 100 feet from the property lines of that parcel is not enough. The whole island needs to be notified. They need to have the opportunity to speak to this project. And if one does or no one does, at least you can say you gave them the opportunity. I didn't see in these reports that a red-legged frog was found within 100 feet of the gates of this facility during the Meadow Creek studies that came after the flood. And frogs can hop onto your property. It's not infeasible to think that this is still a sensitive site, and mitigation measures for those potential takings of species could happen. You have got to have it all in here. One thing that bothers me the most, and I really like this man over here. I really like your sanitation district superintendent. He's a good person, and he's a damn good superintendent. But in this report from ESA on the flooding and this sea level rise, in section 3.1.1, it says, key plant personnel that responded to the event in 2010, the flood, and were present at the WWTF, the wastewater treatment facility, have testified that at its extreme, no more than 1 foot of standing water at the emergency generator building drainage culvert was observed. Footnote number 2. In no case was the entire plant ever underwater, nor did it have the same standing water conditions observed in the residential community directly outside the plant, and the vast majority of the plant continued to be accessible and undamaged/unaffected by this event. Footnote number 3. Do you need a page number?
No, but Julie, I need you to...
I'm wrapping up. Okay. This is my point.
Okay.
The footnotes are identical, and they say, personal communication, John Clemens, SSLOCSD plant superintendent /CPO, July 26, 2016. Mr. Clemens was not there. He's the wrong man to be quoting. These are legal documents. When you get there, these are what you rely on to get your permit. Legal documents should not have quotes from Mr. Clemens. They need to have actual witnesses, actual plant personnel from that time.
All right, is there anyone else that would like to comment?
Carol Hinson. You have to excuse me if I'm not as eloquent or as together in my thoughts as Julie was. However, I have to say that I concur with many of her concerns, and especially the last part when she was talking about Clemens and him not being here during that flood. And a lot of people have come on board through the community and down it. A lot of changes have been made over at the sanitation district. And I admit that I have not come to meetings and I have not kept abreast. However, once in a while, I'm interested. I'm interested because my bills are going up. We've had 3 rate increases, and I'm impacted by those. And I see that this new project that's going to be trying to come through is going to probably impact our community even more in the future. It's only understandable. However, I want to say this. I am concerned. My biggest concern also is that there is no reason to have to circulate that information among the community. And I also have the same concerns about the, it's time sensitive. If we don't act and we don't get this stuff done, then there's going to be, maybe we'll be a backlog and then maybe we can't get it going forward or we'll, it'll be held up. And I'm sure everybody wants to work. However, I do believe that those people in that community were impacted in all the things that Julie Tacker brought up, which I haven't read that, and I'm glad she did so I could hear her. But I concur with that. I'm concerned about the mitigating factors because, as I say, I think that was built on they had to mitigate. What they mitigated, I'd like to know. And I think that should be. And I do think the public, I'm the public, and I don't see it in the newspapers, and I don't, talk to many people. I have health issues, and I'm at home. But I don't think even probably 90% of Oceano knows what's going on here. But I do believe that they would be interested, and at least given the chance to be interested and given the information. I'm concerned about the, addendum for mitigation. I'm concerned about the wanting to hurry up and let's get this now while we're in line and maybe going to do it because nothing has changed. There have been very little changes to all of the things that occurred and were present in 2010. Mary Lucy knows firsthand. She was down there knee-deep or waist-deep in water looking at the constituents' homes, and they were impacted. And I don't see that those... I see that the sanitation district may be in a better condition, but I don't believe that those homes will. And I think that this whole thing will impact down there. So I think a lot needs to be done on this. I'm really unhappy with how far it's already gone, and I haven't even heard about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else?
My name is Mike Arias, and I'm an operator down at the wastewater treatment plant. And I just want to remind everyone, public, the board, I think the board knows this for the most part, but simplifying what we're looking at for redundancy, we need to really look at the core issue of why this project needs to happen. The core issue of why this needs to happen is we have a significant piece of equipment, our primary treatment process, that is well beyond its lifespan. This piece of equipment could fail at any time. If this piece of equipment fails, we will be sending 2 million gallons, over 2 million gallons of untreated sewage into the ocean every single day. And I think that is a far greater risk to community health, health and safety, than some of the other considerations that are being brought up. So I think it's a very significant consideration to make, and the real reason behind this is to ensure public safety. We need to make sure that when this piece of equipment fails, not if, but when it fails, that we have another method of treatment so that we're not sending raw sewage into our ocean. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Mike. Mary?
Michael?
Yes?
Did you say you worked at the plant?
Yes.
And how long have you worked at the plant?
I've been there almost 2 years now.
So you weren't here for the flood?
I was not here for the flood.
Okay.
Okay.
That's enough. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
So if there's no one that's coming for, let me close it and bring it back. Mike actually makes a really good point, and it's actually a point that, well, let me do this. Let me see if the staff has any comments or any clarifications. People know I'm a recovering planner. I've worked on the IRs. I understand this process completely, and I'm really trying to stay as the chairman of this and not be, we have subject matter experts, so. Comment.
Nothing really to add, other than we are about community involvement. We work with the community as much as possible on the island. Information we have, we are certainly willing to share, inform if we need to. Any of the flood analysis, certainly, I think will inform not only the residents but the county of San Luis Obispo, which will benefit from this work. So I want to just relay that this body of information will definitely have a life beyond even the consideration of this addendum. It will inform into the future. Yeah. For future flood events.
Yes.
John. And to that, I'd want to add, too, just to get clarity and perspective on the flood issue. Again, under CEQA, the idea is, or for that matter, whether or not it's CEQA, is the project causing the flood impact? The idea here is there's certainly flooding concerns out there in the neighborhood. Is doing this project going to alleviate all the flood concerns? It won't. Will it protect the facility to a greater extent than would have happened without that, and thus the possible impacts to the neighborhood from sewage flowing into the neighborhood from a flood event? Yeah, it will do that. So the question is, at the end of the day, though, in the documentation, does the project cause flood problems or exacerbate them? And I think that's where the connection falls apart. There is flooding. That is true. But we have to keep that in perspective of what the point of the CEQA document, the impacts of the action we're under consideration of right now.
So, John, basically, the answer to your question, maybe let's be clear for folks who are seeking correct information so that we don't keep getting sidetracked and running down trails, is will this project, as proposed, cause flooding or cause environmental impacts? That is the essential question that is always asked, and that is the question that must be asked and answered before you can even get to the point of an addendum.
Correct. And the answer is no, it does not.
Okay.
Yes.
That is how I understand it. Mm-hmm. And I would also ask you to clarify, when documents are available for public review, it is not that they are mailed to every home, but it's a matter of noticing. So I would like to know, in 2010, what was done, and today, what is current practices?
I don't want to misspeak about what exactly was done in 2010, though I do know it was done to the legal standard of the time. And the current practice is really a question of it's a legal question, which I might direct that way. But, the idea is the noticing. I'm just going to let you answer the question.
Yes.
Good evening, board members. I'd like to direct your attention to page 107 and 108 of your staff report. That is the notice that was given to all properties within 300 feet of the project back in 2010, and it complies with the CEQA requirements. The notice requirements really have not changed. There is no notice requirements for an addendum. I would like to add that complying with CEQA is one of the most difficult projects that any entity faces, and complying with the law is absolutely a must. But when you start going above the additional requirements of what CEQA already requires, it's just another layer of burden that you really do not need to go to that level. What I would suggest is that you approve the resolution to get this project moving along, and then for any future projects, You can always direct staff, if you're inclined, to give notice of future public hearings, including Coastal Commission hearings, to all properties within 300 feet of the project. Again, that is not a legal requirement. You'd be going above and beyond what CEQA already requires, and what it requires is already very extensive.
Okay. And then, John, the other technical part is no changes from a standpoint of development or in the environment surrounding this project.
That's correct.
Okay. Those are the two questions. I do have a comment with respect to the resolution. I do believe that this resolution, if we are going to move forward, needs to reflect that this board is reviewing the document from 2010 and the studies, because the way it is written right now, it's as if we were on the board in 2010. So I think if we're going to move forward, and maybe someone will craft the motion, because it needs to say, whereas the board held a regular meeting on September 7th to consider yada, yada, yada. And then I even think under findings at some point we need to basically say that this board's independent used its independent judgment in reviewing those documents, the environmental documents, and supporting studies to reach these conclusions. So I would ask that legal counsel consider that, but we'll see where the board is with respect to this item. Any further discussion, Mary?
Well, first of all, I have to say is that, we've gone through this process and we've allocated funds to this process, and for Mr. Arias to get up in there and imply that we were opposed to this project moving forward was just somewhat insulting. We funded it. So obviously we believe in what we're doing. To see this level of opposition to notifying a community that there will be an expansion to a sewer plant down the street that will protect that plant from the neighborhood, if you want to put it that way, I think that would be a welcoming notice. I don't see that to be a hardship on the staff at the Sand District. There is less than 30 homes in that neighborhood. It probably would take you a matter of maybe an hour to type a flyer that says, if you have anything that you'd like to put in on this, please submit now. It wouldn't hold you up, but to listen to the excuses as to why not to inform a community is insulting. It's just plain. I'd want to be informed if the plant was expanding in my neighborhood. I'd want to know what you're expanding, how it was going to impact me. Were the trucks going to be louder? Were they going to come in through at 50 miles an hour versus 35 miles an hour that they come flying through the neighborhood now? Is it going to have construction, steel workers going all night long? These people don't deserve to hear that stuff. And to present it as a hardship.
Well, I'm not sure if people are presented as a hardship, Mary, but let me ask you.
Well, took it as a threat.
Well, let me ask you this then. Are you suggesting that you do that before action is taken on this resolution? Or
no,
is that
I would
something
do it.
That can be done before it goes to Coastal Commission and even before it gets to the point of.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Not Coastal Commission. It's a flyer. It's informing the person next door what your intentions are.
Okay.
Separate it from the Coastal Commission.
Okay.
Separate it from your studies. Do it out of respect.
Okay.
There was only a foot of sewer in that plant. There was 5 feet of sewer in people's homes. So, that's the least we can do.
Well, I agree. We're going to inform the community, and I think staff is not saying not to do that. I think what's been pointed out is the risk.
Well, that's how I took it.
I understand. So I think the risk is obviously not moving forward on this project, and I think it's a pretty significant risk if that equipment goes down and we are putting 2 to 3 million gallons of raw sewage into the into the ocean. So I think what I'm hearing is that if we move forward on this, that we give staff direction to do additional notice.
Yeah, inform the community.
Okay. I think that is something that is, I would say is doable.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think at this point, Jim, do you have any comments or someone want to try a motion on this item? And I had suggested maybe a couple. One, whereas a couple of additions to this reso where it talks about we've met tonight to discuss this, and that the decision reflects this board's independent judgment and review of the environmental documents and studies.
Sure. Comment-wise, I think a number of the things that Ms. Lucy addressed were, such as trucks and the impact of construction, were addressed in 2010, and some of the mitigations probably addressed that. Protecting the plant from the neighborhood, I'm not sure. What we had in 2010 was a flood event that would have inundated the houses that were inundated regardless of whether the plant was there or not. What unfortunately happened in 2010 was a large quantity of sewage was carried in that floodwater. The issue of notice, I think we do owe the community a courtesy notice that that this project is back on track and would be starting in the near future. I think that's a responsibility that we have to let people know what's going on. But the notice was properly given. The meetings are televised. I think there's ample opportunity for the public to be informed of what's going on. The project here is not expanding the plant. There will be no capacity expansion of the plant. What it will do is, as has been outlined, is give us full treatment to modern standards that will prevent us from dumping raw sewage in the ocean and the community. And I think that's the overriding concern here. So I'm in support of moving this along, noting again that the CEQA document is to address the impact of this particular project, and not it isn't to mitigate all flood issues that may come before the community. And so with that, I am prepared to move that we adopt Resolution 2016-357, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, concurring that no further environmental review is required for the long-range project, secondary clarifier, and aeration tanks, subject to the addenda to that resolution as presented, that this board met this date, September 7th, 2016, reviewed the original CEQA findings from July 7th, 2010, and agreed that the provided addendum to that is both appropriate and complete.
Second.
Okay. There's a second?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Roll call.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
And then, Mary, would you like to provide direction on the notification to the community?
Yeah, I'd like a flyer made stating that there'll be construction, between which hours, if you'd like to. You know what? Mr. Clements always offers to do plant tours. Please come and do a tour they can read the plans.
We'll work something up.
Right.
Inform the community about the project.
Perfect.
The timeline.
Yes.
And how they can input, and of course visit the plant at a
yeah,
future date.
Yeah, I think there's a majority, board majority is in agreement with that, so Gerard, we'll work together to put something there.
And I'm not asking for anything extraordinary, just a flyer.
It's fine. I think we've given direction. They understand what the board's desire is, and I think this keeps this project moving forward, because I think the overriding, as Jim said, the overriding risk is really what we really need to address. And what I had said earlier, the impact of no project is dumping 2 to 3 million gallons of raw sewage into the ocean. So, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So let's see, where are we? Let's move to item 6B. This is the Cherry Lane Avenue Sewer pipe bridge maintenance project. Gearhart, you have the floor.
Okay.
It's like 8 feet long.
Okay, good evening. Chair Schultz, directors, Gerhard Huebner for the record. This is item 6B. This is consideration of a resolution 2016-356. Resolution making findings, adopting a mitigated monitoring program, approving a mitigated negative declaration, and direct the filing of a mitigated negative declaration. So we're going to be going through a little bit of CEQA again, so bear with me. So similarly, for several years, the district has pursued maintenance on its Cherry Avenue sewer pipe bridge, which spans Aurora Grande Creek. And in order for us to do this maintenance, several permits must be obtained, including one from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. That's a stream bed alteration agreement. So, a little orientation. This is the sewer pipe bridge. In fact, we actually had some inspectors out there recently, so I went out and took some photos. So they're checking out the condition, whether we needed to do the whole project, portions of the project, but in any event, I thought I'd include the picture because picture visuals are definitely helpful. So, per the Department of Fish and Wildlife staff, prior to deeming the stream bed alteration application complete, similar to what we just talked about with Coastal Commission, they needed us to finish or complete or comply with CEQA. Therefore, your board, to move the permitting forward for this maintenance project, on April 20th of this year, your board approved a contract with Kevin Merck Associates to undertake and complete a mitigated negative declaration for this project. On July 19th, a draft MND was released. That's attachment one to your staff report. It was also a public notice for the project and published in the San Luis Obispo Tribune. That's attachment number two. Basically, the project description, it's to do removal of existing paint and debris from the bridge and be followed by replacing anti-corrosion coating on the bridge. So very simplistic. I mean, there's much more project description that you'll see, but to keep it relatively simple. It's a maintenance project. We don't want that sewer bridge to corrode. We don't want it to fail, specifically over an environmentally sensitive area. We want to do proactive maintenance. That's really the purpose of this project. So, some of the things, of course, we will do and to protect the environment is we will utilize a containment system for purpose of containing any material and debris from the existing pipe bridge and support structure for proper disposal of the licensed facility. There's a containment system. We contain all the water, resulting debris, any visible dust produced when the existing coating system is disturbed. So the idea is have a containment structure, capture all that, nothing gets into Aurora Grande Creek. There's a number of conditions. We have special provisions that have been drafted for this specific project. A few of them here, that the project and the equipment will be staged within a 25-foot wide easement area at the top of the north bank of the creek. There will be some removal of non-native plants within the easement area be completed under the direction of a qualified biologist. So you'll see in the environmental document there's quite a bit of analysis of the biological resources. One of the reasons we had Kevin Merck and Associates do the work, familiar with the area. We want to be careful of any sensitive species. And so you'll see that in the environmental document. And any disturbed areas will be stabilized and revegetated with the same list of native plants. Again, get rid of the non-native plants would be appropriate with erosion controls at the direction of a project engineer. So there was a Initial study for the project would include on-site inspection of the surrounding and detailed review of information in the file. There was a review of any available background information was reviewed. There were several areas that were identified in the initial study. So just a few: biological resources, air quality, hazardous materials, noise, probably some of the more significant ones, water and land use. So those were analyzed. Impacts that were identified that could be mitigated were considered significant, but mitigatable. And those potentially significant items associated with the proposed uses were minimized to less than significant. The mitigated negative deck includes a mitigation monitoring program with specific conditions, bringing any identified impacts associated with the project to levels of less than significant. So typically what a permitting agency does is they take those and they slap them into the, you see them as the conditions of your permit. So that's why they like us to do the environmental review, makes the permitting process much easier. So our public review process, I mentioned it was noticed, circulated, closed August 19th. We received two comment letters, one from the Air Pollution Control District, that's attached, you have that, and all the other from the State Clearinghouse. Our response or the comments that we engaged the Air Pollution Control District were addressed through the email exchange, that's attachment number 6. And then the State Clearinghouse essentially said they received no comments from any state agencies. So today we're asking you to consider adoption of Resolution 2016-356. This resolution includes the required findings to complete the CEQA process, approving the mitigated neg deck, mitigating or avoiding any significant environmental impacts by implementation of the project. As I mentioned earlier, it also includes the required mitigation monitoring program to implement, monitor, enforce the permit conditions, mitigate any impacts to less than significant. If the board approves the resolution today, staff also requests us to direct us to file the notice of determination for the MND for this project. That would essentially close the loop and complete the CEQA process. And that is our recommendation today, that the board consider and adopt Resolution 2016-356. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Gerhard. Any questions? Jim, any questions?
No. Yeah. Gerhard, I just have one quick one. Why has this taken so long? I know it's been before the board numerous times. I mean, we've constantly said, yes, yes, get this done. And so why has it taken so long?
I don't know that I could answer that question other than we've made it a priority, and I've made it a priority. I believe your board's made it a priority, and we're moving it now to the next stage. So.
Okay, so in the future, when we have projects that seem to be floundering, let's make them a priority quicker and throw them up there at the top and get them done.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm sure CEQA review takes a while. So
it has its life of its own.
Yeah, and I just want to be clear. So you identified areas that were looked at as potential impacts.
Yeah.
So that's a nice CEQA report, potential impacts. And it looks like there were five that actually resulted in mitigation. Air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, hazardous material, and noise.
He's indicating yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure, because I know you threw a bunch of areas that were looked at, but ultimately through the analysis.
So they look at all the categories, as you know, and through the review, through the studies, determine which ones are the rise to a certain threshold.
Okay, very good.
And then those are analyzed further, and then there you identify mitigation measures that then bring them that threshold to less than significant.
Perfect. Thank you, Gerhard. I think that's all the questions we've got.
Okay.
Is there anyone from the community that would like to address the item before the board?
Julie Tacker, and I was a little confused by Ms. Lucy's comment. It says right here in the staff report that Kevin Merck and Associates was hired April 20th. Your board approved the contract. So I think that was like your first day on the job, Mr. Huebner. Seems totally within norm to be about 4 or 5 months out. The only question I had with regard to the actual document was the noticing. Mr. Trujillo pointed out in the previous item a notice that identified 300 feet. In this noticing, it doesn't say anything about any neighbors being notified, just that it was in the Tribune. So Mr. Merck is here. Maybe he can assure me that the neighbors were noticed through just general delivery mail.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to address the item before the board? Okay, let me close it and bring it back. So it does beg the question of the 300 feet, because I've always dealt with environmental documents where you put it in the paper and you notice it. So I'm just kind of curious where, Gil, is there, and I don't know if that's in our bylaws or if that's any of our environmental procedures. I've seen, I know other cities and communities spell that out.
300. Yeah. Well, the public noticing requirements and would be part of CEQA, the CEQA review and document.
But as far as the direct mailers, because that's what I'm getting, I think I'm understanding is the question of are the direct mailers sent to property owners within a certain distance of projects. I think that's something we need to have a conversation over, because I imagine if there is a permit, certainly if it's a land use permit or some other permit, would have a requirement to send direct mailers as opposed to putting it in a news publication. So I'm just trying to get some clarification around that.
Okay. So. I'm not aware that the district has any such policy.
Okay.
Mr. Gerhardt, are there residents around the bridge?
There are. Yes, I'm. You know, depending on how many feet, there are also business. There's a business directly behind it. Yeah.
Okay. Is it right next to the Cherry Street Bridge?
Not, Jim. I don't know if it's right next to it.
Down maybe
creek,
you can help me a little
up the
bit.
Creek
I know there's an antique store. I just don't happen to remember
near
the name.
Oh, okay. Short Street.
That's what I thought. And it doesn't look that big than the picture.
Yeah, it's by Nelson and
Kevin Merck. We just wanted to make sure that we were consistent with district policies, and we did. We hit two. We noticed it on the district's website, and then we also put it in the paper.
Right.
And that's only one of, you know, there's like one of three requirements for noticing, and we did two.
Yeah. And that's, thank you, Kevin. But that's, let's have that conversation, because I think there was some confusion as to, I think it's great for us to notify community members when a project is going, and I think we'll do that here. I just want to be clear that if it's not in our bylaws, there's nothing in planning or state law when it comes to an environmental document that said there has to be something mailed directly to homes. And I want to, you know, and if that's what we want to do in the future, then the board, we need to have that conversation at the board. Okay.
Great.
All right. So I think this is closed to the public, and we have an item before us. Is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I move we accept resolution 2016-356.
I'll second that. Set a roll call.
Chairman Scholes?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to item 6C, which is award of contract for a mechanical bar screen headworks improvement project at the district's wastewater treatment plant. Mr. Huebner.
I will be there and... Thank you, Chair Scholes, directors, members of the audience, Gerhardt Huebner again. I will. This is our third item for consideration today. It's also one of our big capital projects
This is consideration of award contract for a mechanical bar screen headworks improvement project at the district's wastewater treatment plant. So, as background, district currently operates an auger system at the plant headworks. It does not effectively or efficiently remove rags or other large inorganic materials, issues a little bit more problematic of late with the advent of more flushable products. Therefore, district staff pursued improvement to the efficiency of the headworks by means of a mechanical bar screen system, or essentially evaluated its ability and system to increase the safety by keeping rags and other large inorganic materials out. The removal of the rags and other large inorganic materials by a mechanical bar screen would also increase our pump reliability, reduce electrical costs, reduce maintenance, increase the productivity of our digester. So for these and other reasons, we pursued this mechanical bar screen technology. So, folks don't know where our headworks are. I'm going to just jump over here. Here it is, right here. Gives you just a general location at the plant where our headworks are. So I snapped this photo actually this afternoon. Went out there to get an idea of what we're looking at. Augers are right here. Cover up. We also, by mechanical means, every day. In fact, our plant superintendent actually had to do the duty of removing the debris into our dumpster. So these, we have four chambers, and we would be putting mechanical bar screens on, replacing at least two of the chambers. So, as I reported in my district administrative report, we've been working on the design of the headworks improvement project for several months. In June, design was completed. In July, we advertised a notice inviting bids for the project. The request was posted on the district's website, local newspaper, several of the other Builders Exchange, as well as the Santa Maria Valley Contractors Association web site. So we did quite a bit of outreach to attract as many bidders as we could. We had a pre-bid conference at the district facility on July 25th. We had a bid opening for the project on August 10th, and we received four bids. Ranging in price from $511,370 to $613,000 and some change. That's attachment number two, so you can look at those quotes or those bids. The engineer's estimate for this project was $573,850, including a 15% contingency, and that's attachment three to your staff report. So that's kind of the background. The result of the bidding process was Fluid Resource Management posted the lowest qualified bid of $511,370.51. The bid was evaluated by Mike Nunley and Associates, design engineer for the district. MKN also recommended that the district award the headworks improvement project to Fluid Management Resources, so they evaluated again to look to met the requirements of the bidding process, and that's included as attachment number four. District staff have looked at this material. We concur with this recommendation, and that this bid process complies with the district's adopted policy and procedures for supplies, equipment, and construction and services. With the award, consideration of award and execution of the contract, the headworks improvement project can proceed. Installation and construction are anticipated to take 6 months to complete from issuance of a notice to proceed, so roughly spring 2017 if the board decides to move forward today. Fiscal considerations. In the adopted board for this fiscal year, $577,000 was identified in Fund 26, Schedule B1, for the mechanical bar screen headworks project. The bid for Fluid Resource Management is within this amount. We put a note in here because you could, if you do a little bit of the math, you say, well, okay, if there's the 15% contingency, So we would come back if the entire contingency was exceeded, we would come back with a line item adjustment or a budget adjustment at a future date. Our recommendation today is that you award the contract for the installation and construction of the mechanical bar screen headworks improvement project to Fluid Resource Management, direct the district administrator to enter into the agreement, that's attachment one, with Fluid Resource Management in the amount of $511,370.51. You approve a specific contingency fund for this project up to 15%, $76,706, that's what the math turns out to be, of the total contract amount for any unforeseen future project events, and authorize the district administrator to approve future change orders for this project within the newly created contingency fund. So this is essentially what we're trying to avoid when we did the grit removal project, having to come back. So we've included all of that with the recommendation today. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Thank you, Garrett. Do you have a question? You good?
I have one about the source of some of the funding. One of the issues that we discussed was the potential for application of part of the fine that relates from the 2010 spill and the ability of the district potentially to apply some of the funds to projects of this nature. Is that still our intent to?
Yes. What we identified is using roughly the $221,000 for the grit removal project. We could have also considered, in fact, in the discussions with the regional board, we had this project also listed. We went with that project because that one was already underway versus this one you haven't awarded today, so that was a reason. But this project certainly would qualify, and we had put that forth as something settlement monies could have gone for.
Okay, that's my only question.
Okay, I don't have any questions. Is there any member of the community that would like to address the item before the board? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. Anyone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I would move that the board award a contract for installation and construction of the mechanical bar screen headwork improvement project of Fluid Resource Management, that we direct the district administrator to enter into an agreement with Fluid Resource Management in the amount of $511,370.51. That we approve a specific contingency fund for this project up to 15%, which is $76,706 of the total contract amount for unforeseen future project events, and that we further authorize the district administrator to approve further change orders for this project within the newly created contingency fund, subject only to reporting back to the board in the event.
Okay, very good. So I'll second that motion. Is there any additional discussion on the motion? Seeing none, roll call.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yeah.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to district administrator.
Can I just ask Mr. Gerhardt, Mr. Huebner?
Yes.
Can you just let us know where this falls under priority? Because $600,000 seems like a substantial amount of money for this. And so if you could just let us know where it falls on the list of actual importance and priorities.
I believe it is important. It has been it's a priority project. It's one of, I call the four big, of
okay.
which... You
right.
already considered two tonight and grit removal.
Because I know that we're putting money towards it and we put it out for RFP and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just couldn't see it being a high priority. But
it is
you say it's one of the four, fine.
Yeah, it's a substantial investment. Again, I look at these all as investment of money back into the infrastructure of the plant.
Okay. So that motion carries. We're going to move for item number 7. This is the district administrator and plant superintendent's report. QR, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Schultz, board members. So you have my written report in front of you today. I want to really kind of emphasize really two big efforts, which you see in italicized. One is our settlement of the 2010 spill. As you know, we announced the settlement, and I've been working with regional board staff on the draft order. That's something that they need to finalize. That will eventually go to the court to settle the litigation. There was an issue that came up last 2 weeks, where I was notified that they had failed to include a requirement for a 30-day review of the draft order. So that has been included. I have signed off. I've signed, as well as the regional board executive officer. I got a notice today that's being circulated. I don't anticipate any changes, but it is something that's required under the MPDS permit regs. The related issue is, of course, we didn't want our stipulated stay to expire, which would have been at the end of this month. Our attorney has worked with the Department of Justice state attorneys, and that stay has now been approved by the court to November 30th. So that's not in jeopardy, and okay. So we'll just have a little bit more time, I guess, on the bright side of that is we don't have to make any payment, of course, until the draft order is finalized, and then, of course, we have 30 days to make our first payment.
Okay.
The second update I want to provide to you is I did travel to Sacramento. I arranged for 3 meetings with state board staff. I met first with our grant manager for our satellite Water Resource Recovery Facilities grant. I wanted to meet the grant manager. I wanted to confirm the board's their understanding of what this board did in terms of rescoping it, the focus on where the study will be in the report, as well as the schedule. Had a good meeting with the individual, the project manager. He was very supportive of our efforts and is looking forward to our draft report. The second meeting, I met with State Revolving Fund Loan staff, and that was very insightful. I think what we learned essentially got an insight on what's happening in Sacramento in terms of state revolving fund financing. They've overcommitted. I think we're one of the few that know that. That information is likely to come out in the next intervening weeks, maybe the next week or so. So you'll see in my staff report some of the options that potentially we have. It's not that there won't be any funding. It'll just be much more competitive for state revolving fund loans. And, of course, this will be a statewide issue, as not only this community, this sand district is looking for funding for its projects, many others will. So it will bubble up at the political level in Sacramento. Nevertheless, they were very helpful. In the third meeting, I met with the deputy director of the Division of Financial Assistance, and he was also very helpful in pointing me to additional funding sources that we may pursue. So very productive day. It was long, obviously going up and back is always a challenge, but again, I think very valuable for the information that I learned for our projects and our future efforts to find funding. I think I'll end it with that. The rest of the report is relatively straightforward, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. I'll let John, of course, do his update.
Okay, John.
Okay, good evening, board. Start off with this first paragraph is from my last report. We didn't exclude it, so you can disregard that. As far as our plant numbers, numbers look good, as usual. 93% efficiency removal, spend a solid to 32, which is typical effluent, and 31 for your BLD. So nothing to see there, just your normal, typical numbers for our plant. Operation and maintenance project, we cleaned the surface of the FFR. It's a matter of practice right now. We collect our oil sample for lab testing. As we collected our oil sample, we had our two most experienced operators up there, have been there 12, 14 years. When they collected the sample, they said that they had there was more condensate or more water in the oil coming from the gearbox than they had ever seen. Our reports coming back from the lab have been pretty decent, actually, on the oil. But, again, it's 30 years old. You don't expect it to be perfect. But, again, it's something that, again, kind of reiterates urgency and acquiring a redundant process. So, we performed our monthly safety inspection, which is a OSHA-compliant walk around the plant and with our safety officer, our superintendent, reviewing all of our safety practices and hazards that may be in any hazards we may identify. We installed an automatic valve for the grit removal system that's installed, and now we're ready for that project. We had our front loader service and repair by Diamond A. We've had a lot of recent issues with the front loader and hoses failing on us, so we had Diamond A come through and replace all of our hoses. We replaced MCC building exhaust fan motor, had our electrical connections made to the office trailer. We had furniture delivered for our trailer. We replaced the AmiOut filter screen. Our filter, AmiOut filter is a filter which filters water, the treated water that we return as to clean the plant with. We continued to work on FFR temporary backup system, which was referred to earlier. And in a quick note, what it is it's basically we've piped up a 12-inch pipe to go up the side of the trickling filter. On the top, it connects by flange to another pipe that would lay down on the top of the trickling filter, starting at 12 inches, graduating down to 8 and then 6 inches, you know, to maintain pressure all the way across the filter. And then from this manifold, we would put flexible hosing across every 5 or 6 feet, the length of the trickling filter across. And with that, if we had a failure of our distribution or mechanism, then we would put a 12-inch pump. It would pump the water, the processed water, from the box, the receiving box at the trickling filter up there. And so we'd be able to keep the bugs wet and continue to feed the bugs for a period of time, as for whatever period of time, and until obviously it's not optimum, but it's an effort, and I'm pretty sure it would definitely mitigate any problem we had in the event that our trickling filter failed. So that's a quick version. If necessary, we can come back with a more detailed version with pictures. But we marked our underground service alerts, performed various work orders, and staff met with the city of SLO. We went over to the wastewater treatment plant. We're considering and options with regard to a cogeneration facility unit. The city of SLO just got one in about a year and a half ago. Theirs is up and running. We wanted to try to look at what they're doing and what success they've had. They experienced the same type of challenges we had in the past with the prior company that sold us our cogen unit. I think they had the same thing and they had the same problems. So they're a year and a half ahead of us on recovering, so we wanted to go up there. We took five of our operators up there so that we could really communicate with their staff and try to cover every area. Anyway, that was very productive. We got a lot of good answers. And MKN Engineering was there, PG&E, and then G2 engineers who had designed the cogen system. Very productive day for our staff. With regard to training, we participated in a plant familiarization training focused on the plant solids handling system. That's always productive. Staff participated in a safety training class for fire extinguisher usage. That was given by our our plant safety officer and supervisor at this point, Michael Arias, and lab tech operator Fanny Mui and Mario De Leon attended a one-day CWA training conference at the wastewater plant in the city of San Luis Obispo. And then myself and Supervisor Michael Arias attended a free two-day training seminar in Bakersfield hosted by Rockwell Automation. That was really productive as we built our screens. And then also while we were out there, we were able to go to a couple of plants that have trickling filters like ours, and we were able to look at their well-developed SCADA systems. We were able to look at, as we build our grit removal system, they have one, the same type we're putting it already in place, so we were able to go talk to their staff and look at how theirs is operated. Same thing with the mechanical bar screen. They had one like the one we're putting in, so we were able to go look and see, talk to their operators, see what kind of issues might come up. So, again, that was a very productive trip. We were able to cover about three or four issues on the two-day trip. That was really good. So, Operator Michael Jones, Rick Jackman, Billy Rumhill participated in training session on operation of our GIS system, which we've just implicated. We didn't have any call-outs this period, and that ends my report. If the board has any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Thank you, John. Does anyone have any questions?
Just out of curiosity, does nobody have one of these plants on this side of the mountain range? Are all these plants that are 30 years old in this design, are they only in California Valley or over in the Fresno Bakersfield area? Don't they have them over here? I'm just wondering how come our staff had to go so far.
We were over there for a Rockwell Automation convention. We just took advantage of being over there.
Pardon me? You were over there for what?
We were over there for a free convention for Rockwell Automation as we start doing our own work on our SCADA system. Mm-hmm. We were receiving training for our SCADA system. And while we were over there, we took advantage of going to places that were similar to ours. So we didn't go there to go to those plants. Yeah. That was just a byproduct of our trip. We took advantage of the situation.
Thank you, John. And actually, that does bring up a good point, and maybe that's something we should discuss, Gerhardt, in the future is, and I think, Jim, you know, PG&E does this often, is benchmarking, maybe identifying other plants that are similar to our plant, mm-hmm. similar location, and let's just do some benchmarking so we can really see how are we doing compared to others and mm-hmm. are there best practices that we can learn. I mm-hmm. think that mm-hmm. I think that was a good opportunity, and you guys, thanks for doing that. But I do think it's mm-hmm. it's something we may really want to
can always learn.
Land out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, you have anything?
Well, I concur with the idea of benchmarking other plants, which is something that we routinely do, and it gets best practices shared around the entire industry, which is beneficial for all. I'm pleased to see the CoGen research project looking into what was done in San Luis, and that goes hand in hand with this discussion of benchmarking. It's good to know what others have done, and if they've had similar experiences, and if they're ahead of us, we can kind of see the road going into the future a little bit better than if we're trying to just negotiate it without such advice. I want to totally compliment the staff on the FFR backup project. That's one thing that with the water and the lubricant on the FFR and so forth, that has the potential to bail us out on a or certainly mitigate potential failure of the device while we are pursuing the redundancy project. So kudos to all of the staff involved in that. That was the operating staff did a great job on that. I was out on site and was able to look at that project, and it's quite impressive. Also kudos to the staff for keeping our discharge levels within spec. I note with concern a report of some red material in the influent to the plant, and I would again urge residents and customers of the district to please don't pour anything in the drains of a chemical nature or solids that that bind up the system or may cause us to exceed discharge levels. That comes back to increased expense for all of us. So I would just ask for your cooperation with that. Please don't pour those kinds of things down the drain. There are free places to take hazardous materials to keep them out of the drains. I'm concerned, going back to a public comment earlier, about the increased cost for HR, and I'm hoping that we're not having issues that might cause us staff morale problems. I'm also concerned about, I did see the trailer out there. I'm concerned about issues with a permit for that. I'm hoping that we are cognizant of all of the one of the questions Ms. Lucy asked earlier is, why is the sewer bridge project taking so long? And I think the answer to that is because there's so many regulations, regulatory agencies, and so forth that are involved. And sometimes for dust control and things like that, they lose sight of the idea that we're trying to prevent corrosion of a bridge that transports raw sewage across a creek. And the objective is to keep that from dumping raw sewage into the creek by maintaining the coatings on that bridge. So while, yes, it's certainly necessary that we comply with those requirements, sometimes the it seems to me that we lose sight of the objective in the forest of well-meaning but certainly regulations that cause unnecessary delay to projects. Those are most of my comments. Again, I do want to make sure that we are concerned with the permit requirements where necessary, and I'm also concerned, it looked like the trailer location, and maybe that was just temporary, is kind of in the middle of where we're going to put the redundancy project, so just to make sure that we're looking at you know, our future requirements and where we might locate various equipment and facilities.
Okay, that's it. Thank you for those comments, Gerhard. Do you want to respond to I think the question of the trailer location and permit requirements?
So we looked at various locations for the trailer and where it could be least intrusive. At one point, we even looked on the grass area and was not possible to put it there for a variety of reasons. We ended up where it was because it's all, and coincidentally, a side benefit is it's right next to our C train, which has our records, which we need to review and sort and deal with at some point. So there's an added benefit of the trailer being directly adjacent, because whoever does that record management initiative will need to have space, computer, a safe environment to conduct that work. The issue of the permit came up actually yesterday. A complaint was made to the San Luis Obispo Code Enforcement. I received the call anonymously, so it's a question of who did it. We don't know.
Everyone. Good.
So I have went down to San Luis Obispo Planning today to discuss it with them, and we'll be following up on various options. That raises a number of issues by a temporary construction trailer, which is only supposed to be there really for a year. That's what the lease is for, to deal with our issues at our admin building, which we've talked about forever. including privacy issues with the women's bathroom, not having privacy and only one door in the admin building, not being able to have confidential discussions either by phone or in person by myself or Ms. Simpson, the use of the copy machine interruptions, the lack of space and break room with our, which have displaced our operators during their breaks and lunches when we have meetings with consultants and contractors, interrupting their break time and their lunch time. Again, shared space with Ms. Simpson. Fiscal management. We've had we've tried to reconcile our records and have our auditor in, not having enough space to conduct that work in private, with quiet, without the noise. As I've mentioned before, and I've documented the number of the safe environment, the men's bathroom was extremely disruptive. I have video that I can put up on the screen if so the board so wishes, which documents how loud it was that we couldn't conduct regular business of the district. You're looking at air ducts. You're looking at and doing. Excuse me, Mr. Clemens.
Excuse me. I'm wondering how this is answering the question about permits. I'm not. What I'm getting is the number of reasons for having a trailer, but I don't think this is addressing my question, which was about the permitting and the location of the trailer.
So you talked to the county.
That. Yes. So I'm sorry that I've gone through the list of issues. I'm looking at our plant superintendent, and I'm not sure why I'm getting the response that I am from him when I'm outlining these issues. But nevertheless, Director Hill.
I'm trying to. I today
spent a significant amount of time working through the permit issues. We're going to have to work with the county as well as Coastal Commission on essentially a temporary construction trailer.
Okay. Thank you, Gerhardt.
Mr. Gerhardt, I have a couple.
Yes. Mary?
I have a couple questions for you.
Yes.
I'm actually sorry that you're being disrespected in that way. Can I ask you, at the next meeting, can we get a SCADA report? Because we have put substantial amount of money into that SCADA, and I'm not sure that anybody's trained or if it's up and operating or anything like that. So as far as public restrooms, I would suggest getting an outhouse, put it out in the yard, you know. And I understand that having a cheesy little construction trailer has caused great turmoil, and so, you know, maybe you want to restructure the office and just inform the board on how you're going to do it.
Certainly.
Okay. So let me open this up to the public.
Of course.
Julie Tacker, and I'll start with John's report. I see that a lot of your staff, the operators, and lab tech have been getting ongoing training. I like to see that. What I haven't seen in a long time, and the reason I mention it now, is because there's a $1,200 warrant for Jocelyn Hodson. And the reason I mention it is because Amy has not been getting more training. We could eliminate expenses like Jocelyn if Amy had the expertise that Jocelyn keeps getting called back for. So I'd like to see Amy, this district, invest in Amy. I like seeing the backup for the FFR. You are buying time. You're not going to have a permit for a year and a half. You don't have funding. It's not like you're building a redundancy project tomorrow or next year, maybe the year after. Having backup is very important. I agree. But racing through noticing or not noticing is not going to save you one day, or the darn thing could break could be breaking right now. So you have to deal with it. And that's what backup plans are. And if the sewage spills, you have the parts on site. Mr. Clemens has told us over and over. He showed us on a tour. It's in a crate right there. Here's the gizmo that fixes it. All hands on decks, you fix it. The trip to Sacramento doesn't reflect Mr. Gearhart's, Mr. Huebner, sorry, that's what Mary calls him, Mr. Gearhart. It is Huebner. Doesn't reflect the $700 reimbursement that Mr. Huebner has asked for in the warrants. I will be asking for an itemized reimbursement request. I want to see where all that money went. That's a lot of money for a one-day trip, if that was the trip. Otherwise, he didn't report on where he went for $700. The trailer, the little tiny trailer, is 12 feet wide and 60 feet long.
I've seen it.
Okay, it's not a little tiny trailer. It's a significant... It's bigger than some of the houses in Oceano. Yeah.
Okay.
And yes, it needs a permit. And yes, here's my problem with it. Your board was never asked if he could bring a trailer on site and the subsequent costs associated with it. I'm calculating right now with the trailer, the furniture, the staff time, a phone line, computers, whatever, we're almost at 10 grand to have a trailer that he didn't have permission to get. Now, he made his case that he needs a trailer or wants a trailer, but your board is the fiduciary and has the right and the responsibility to allow him to go out and incur these expenses. That didn't happen. And in your budget discussion, when you talked about the off-site possibilities, there was consensus that a cost-benefit analysis would be brought back to your board, whether it was to go off-site and rent a little office somewhere in Oceano or Grover or anywhere else, or a trailer. That didn't happen. That's a failure on the part of your administrator. I don't care what the reasons are, but you have the right to say yes or no to how every dollar is spent in this district. And you didn't get that chance. You didn't get that chance.
Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price. I came in late. Sorry, I thought I'd missed something when I heard about the trailer, because I hadn't heard anything the last meeting, and I have said I didn't think it was worth the expense of having an off-site office. I think the trailer sounds like a good idea. I'm wondering, though, how it got on the property without some discussion, and I would like that answered.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the board. Mary, if you have something?
Did we not budget about $18,000 for appropriate work environment spaces? Was it about $18,000 that we approved in the budget?
I don't know the specific amount. I believe it's anywhere.
A guesstimate.
$12,000 or more.
Did we go over that?
We had this discussion at the budget development process.
And we didn't go over that. This trailer has not cost more than $12,000, right?
No, it has not.
Okay. So I think that we discussed it, processed it, budgeted it, and voted on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jim?
I do kind of share the concerns of authorizing specific things such as a trailer, which probably has temporary electrical and various other things. So I am concerned about that.
Okay. So We did budget it. We have this conversation, and I will let you know that Gerhard and I talk weekly. I think he has informed me of those plans, and I think it's well documented the condition of the existing building out there. And so, I think it's more than that. That's an understatement. So, I don't want to get wrapped around an axle here. I mean, there have been people who've come here who've said, "Don't do the satellite office." They've been disrespectful to Gerhard at best, and quite honestly, he is doing a good job. I mean, like I said before, the settlement does not come along without him being in this position. The trip to Sacramento was a good trip. I think it's well documented. So you know, we have to decide how we're going to treat employees, and that includes everyone, including Mr. Huebner. And so, yes, the permit is an issue. I think Ms. Julie is right. The issue of permitting, that's a code enforcement thing that needs to be handled. Those are typically done anonymously. So I think Gerhard has already met with the county. We're going to try and work through this. It's really unfortunate we continue to have these discussions over these items when the plant is operating very well, and we've settled a litigation. So it's just really, I'm sure there's a level of frustration on all fronts. So let's just work through this with the county. Let's figure out what that is. Clearly, it's probably there is going to be some expense, and we'll have to take a look. But I think maybe just a report, and just going to have that discussion about the cost for the trailer, cost for something offsite, and because if it's temporary, we're still going to have that conversation. Correct.
Correct. And again, because of the issues that have been raised about off-site satellite office, this was looked at as a compromise to move this issue forward for all the reasons I've outlined before. This is a frustrating issue to me because this is a health and safety issue. It's a privacy issue for myself, the admin staff, and I believe they should be there are issues in our health and safety and our ability to work in a professional environment need to be considered as well as the operators.
I think well everyone should be.
Mr. Okay. Chair, with due respect, I've don't object to the arguments and reasons in support of having adequate office space, but I think that you know, significant expenditures need to come to the board for perhaps only pro forma approval, but I think that's incumbent upon us to make sure that we do exercise our fiduciary duty. I think that the staff would echo that I have always supported, you know, reasonable concerns about adequacy of facilities and so forth. That's not the issue here. The issue here is that we agree as a board on a course of action that involves significant expenditure of district funds. That's my concern.
Now, I think that's a point well taken. I think we had also set a limit, but let's have further discussion. We need to move forward, though. Mary?
And just to... You know, when we brought you on, you listed the four top priorities, and they all, three of them are sequenced, you know, and they're all moving in the pipeline faster than I could have possibly imagined them doing. You've settled that lawsuit. So, you know, I'm not sure what it's going to take to make people happy. I think there's some people that you're just never, ever going to make happy. So, on that note,
sure.
So
I'll let on that instruction.
Yeah, I just think let's, you know, I know that it's been in the administrator's report. I think maybe going forward, let's just highlight it a little more. I think that would be best practices moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do want to see Ms. Laura continue on setting these policies and procedures in place so there is a guideline. Thank you.
Okay. I think with that, we are at the point of the meeting where I don't think we have any other items, so at this point we are adjourned.